Welcome to the Holy Try Podcast with AY, Dan, and Ken.
All right, 3, 2, 1.
We're on the air.
Yeah, we're on the air live.
Now it's getting started. I guarantee you that.
I think I got my swagger back. Oh, the Holy Triumvirate.
What's going on, guys? Welcome back to another edition of Holy Try Football Podcast Week 12 Review. What a week it was. It's me, AY, here coming to you from the beautiful state capital of Commonwealth of Pennsylvania. Check us out on Twitter, Holy Try Football. Send us an email. Send us any type of playoff scenario you see playing out in your head. And tell your friends about us. Joining me, per usual, to my west, D-Berg out in Pittsburgh. What's up, man?
As you would say, AY, I had a Jimmy V yesterday.
Oh,
what a time to be alive.
Love me a Jimmy V.
Whole day.
You slept
half of the day, I thought.
It was a full day.
For those of you unfamiliar with our term of Jimmy V, it's just a full day, man. You do a lot. And to my northeast, Ken, what's up, man?
Yes, I had a Jimmy V as well. Exciting football game, whiteout, great atmosphere. But above that, a lifetime achievement, or not a lifetime achievement, but a lifetime event, milestone event, I have to offer an extremely heartfelt and happy congratulations to the newly engaged couple and Lisa Scheiderly and David Dierenerick Deitch, known in these parts of the internets as Conductor Deitch.
Yeah, good stuff, Dave.
Yes.
Congrats, Davey.
Very good presentation, and everybody was very happy. Everybody thought it was a great job, aside from Rooster, who thought it was okay. It was not bad.
Yo, for a second there, I thought you were going to send out your congratulations to Kyle Busch, the NASCAR championship.
Oh, yes, yes. That as well.
And the Rainbow Warrior.
Kyle Busch is not the headliner today in NASCAR. That would go to the great Rainbow Warrior. Jeff Gordon himself, fantastic career to oftentimes, would he be equated to the Phil Mickelson of NASCAR because he was a rival of number three?
Yes, perhaps.
Yes. Oftentimes the villain. I know that a lot of people didn't like him, Conductor Deitch, one of them included, but great career for him. Congratulations.
Yes, definitely. Again, shout out to Dave. Good work, man. Guys, you guys were both at the games yesterday, your games respectively. Not sure how much you took in. I'm not sure how much you're awake either. But I actually took in a lot this weekend. I was pretty fired up after a few weeks off. But let's jump right into the Atlantic Coast Conference, where Clemson held serve over Wake 33-13. Florida State beat Chattanooga. Carolina staved off a feisty Beamer team.
Stop it off.
32-27 overtime. NC State got Syracuse. Miami just continued to rain on Paul Johnson, Georgia Tech. Virginia piled on Duke. And that's where we're at. ACC pretty true to form this weekend. The one thing I guess we could go over was Virginia Tech really showed up for Frank Beamer's final home game.
Yeah, or for at least parts of it, right? They were down 24-10 late before they mounted the late comeback to force overtime, weren't they?
Your boy Brewer.
Yeah.
Yep. And how long has he been back? Is this his first game back?
This is third game back.
Third game back. So, valiant effort, and you saw the special helmets they wore with Frank Beamer's number on it. He's a lifetime Hokie. Great effort that they put forth for their coach, for their legend down there in Blacksburg. And got a couple more games left. Hopefully they can salvage a decent ball game for him to go out on. And UNC did not look as good, I guess, as we had thought, or at least one of us had that had locked them up.
Well, I think we all thought they would steamroll.
Yes, sir. We'll see how they go. You know, it's hard to keep up the pace that they were at for the last couple of weeks, so they're bound to come back down to earth, right?
I think so, yeah. And the emotional angle, Beamer's last game, as we've said.
Yeah. Look at the Dukies there. Virginia, Mike London, is this job-saving? Is this a job-saving win?
Negative?
I don't know if they want to get rid of him this year, though, with all the departures around the country. Will they be able to get anybody that much better?
Yeah, I like your angle there. Not just with Virginia, but some of the other schools. I think it's safe to say off. I'll save it for the Big 12. Continue.
Yeah, I don't know if he can. I don't know with him, but he's a good guy.
Yeah, he is a good guy, or he's a good recruiter. That's for sure. He's been a thorn in a lot of powers, not just Penn State. I know Penn State's been trying to make inroads down there, the Tidewater region, but he's been able to fish out a good amount of talent down there, and we'll see if. We'll get another year next year, give it another go. Miami, continuing Paul Johnson's nightmare season. It's two programs that we really don't know what's going on with them right now, at least for this season.
You're not kidding.
Not telling the truth full time.
Yeah.
ACC, pretty true to form. Carolina looks to be on a collision course with Clemson. Well, they are, but can they crash the playoff? We shall see. Elsewhere in the country, the conference of the one true champion, the Big 12, West Virginia piled on the Kansas. K-State got by Iowa State. And the two games both kind of lived up to the hype here. Not the greatest games, but definitely they were close. Let's just start in Stillwater. Baylor upends Oklahoma State 45-35. Can and AY were right here.
They were.
Hey, but not with the quarterback that we had expected. Stidham still a little hobbled in the previous week. Gave way to Chris Johnson, not to be confused with the running back Chris Johnson. But third string Chris Johnson, the quarterback at Baylor, comes in and immediately tosses two long touchdown passes.
Man, bombs he was dropping.
Bombs, yeah, just dropping dimes. KD Cannon, Jay Lee having long touchdown passes from Chris Johnson, and he helped extend the lead. He came in with a lead and extended it to a very comfortable 38-14 lead there, and they coasted to the end, eventually winning by 10 points in Stillwater. This is a program-defining win for Baylor, who is in their golden era right now. They still hadn't gotten over the hump in Stillwater. I believe they hadn't won there since the 1930s, and you remember the last time they were highly ranked, went to Stillwater, they got a put to them by Mike Gundy's bunch.
Not Paul Rhodes either.
Yeah. Who's left with the Corey Coleman Heisman campaign, though? I just imagine some like 17 Natty Light cans and a kid passed out with a Coleman for Heisman. He had one long catch, but holy smokes, really nosedived the last couple weeks here.
It just goes to show how difficult it is to be a wide receiver and be in the Heisman contention. It's impressive, the numbers that he put up, but I feel like it's a lot easier to take a wide receiver out of the game than it is to take a running back or a quarterback. And obviously teams have been focusing on him.
Yeah, I was pretty pumped for my Cal Pokes whenever I saw Stidham wasn't going to be able to return, but Chris Johnson, he's just letting his guys make plays.
Yep, CJ2K right there.
CJ2K.
Yeah, Baylor definitely proved me wrong. Even though I thought they'd win, I didn't think Oklahoma State was that good. But Baylor looked pretty sharp in this game.
Definitely.
You said CJ2K played well, but they got the run game going, and just created even more of a mess here in this Big 12.
Yeah.
Which something TCU tried to do with this late game fourth quarter comeback against Oklahoma, down Trayvon Boykin, down one of the sweetest names of college football, Foster Sawyer. Maybe it's even a sweeter name, Bram Kohlhausen. if that's not German, I don't know what is. That might not even be German, but Kohlhausen.
Hausen.
On the other side of things, Mr. Baker Mayfield out with a concussion. Stoops was that post-game pressure you knew was going to be interesting regardless of what happened there.
Oh, yeah.
With Baker going back in and then come back out. Oof. Trevor Knight came in and reminded us why he's on the bench this year. Aaron Green played well, and P. Ryan. The freshman Turpin, nice big play there for Eastern, a touchdown. Shepard did his thing. That was a pretty solid little comeback there by TCU. Oklahoma had it in hand most of the game, but go for two there. You know what? I love it.
Yeah, I do too. 16 unanswered right there at the end. A dogfight. I don't think Stoops thought he would be in the fourth quarter. They had it pretty comfortable going into the fourth. And
I will
great effort by Patterson's folks coming back.
I will say, hindsight is always 20/20, but do you maybe rethink that decision knowing that Trevor Knight couldn't hit the broadside of a barn? And take your chances. That's the thing.
You do bring. That's a good point. Yeah.
Yeah.
That is a good point.
That was the.
They're on the road. They're underdogs. What did the line balloon to?
17 points. AY was right.
Yeah, AY was right. You're that big of underdogs. You think he probably thought he's down to his third string quarterback as well. Maybe he didn't want to chance it on the road. Either way. Very exciting game. The two headliners down there in the Big 12. You didn't talk about the third headliner, did you? West Virginia traveling to the unfriendly confines of Memorial Stadium, Lawrence, Kansas.
Taking care of business.
Yeah. You know, you just don't walk out with a 49-0 victory any day of the week in Lawrence. But they did. Skylar Howard had a good game.
Bowl eligible.
Yeah. Bowl eligible. Dana. The resurgent Dana. Coming back from what seemed to be the ashes and putting together a nice run here at the end of the season.
Yeah, all of a sudden. You got Iowa State and Kansas State. Very, very winnable games.
Very winnable, and Dana stays safe maybe for another season.
Yeah, I think so. Although, granted, that year they started 6-0 or whatever it was, I think they lost to both of those teams. So, who knows? But yeah, I think he's safe.
Yeah. Yeah, well, especially with the climate that we alluded to before.
Yep.
And last but not least, the great comeback from Kansas State, 21 points, I believe, unanswered, to come back and take it in Manhattan against Iowa State, 38-35, and what eventually became the final nail in the coffin for Paul Rims.
Baby Gronk throwing a touchdown pass. That's all I have on this game.
You hoping for a return from Paul Rhodes to Pittsburgh?
I don't know. He's been out of the... Well, now they're I guess, completely shifted since he's been in Big East territory. Having a game plan for those... I don't know how... Maybe he's a position coach if he's open to it. But I think he could maybe land a D.C. job somewhere. Either Group of Five high-end or somewhere else in the Big 12 or Power 5 low end.
Yeah, yeah.
We'll see.
We shall see.
We shall see indeed. As we move on to the conference, I forgot last time. The B1G, Iowa doubled up Purdue 40-20. They are 11-0. Unbelievable.
They're 11-0.
Applebee's was open again for this game too. Austin Appleby started. Or he played at least.
Not closed.
Applebee's is open.
Northwestern got by Wisconsin 13-7 in a very interesting ending. Rutgers got by Army. Indiana took care of Maryland after an early terp storm.
An early terp storm.
Minnesota got by Illinois 32-23. End of that Northwestern Wisconsin game. Just snowballs being pelted at cheerleaders, referees, everyone.
Yeah, that was good. That was good stuff from the fans in Madtown. I wouldn't expect anything less. Those are the people I knew and loved, or still do know and love as well. It seems that the three calls that were overturned all seem to be correct calls if you go by the letter of the law, but definitely very contentious ending to that game. Northwestern squeezed one out.
Yeah. Illinois, once again, their season and the drive for six comes down to a meeting with Northwestern as a probably pretty big underdog.
Yes, it seems that Northwestern should be, well, you never know with this team. It should be.
You got to throw the records out in that rivalry.
Yeah, that rivalry. The battle for Chicago. Throw the records out. you alluded to the early Terp storm. Maryland jumping out real early. 21-3. 21-3. And then, wow. Indiana going on. What is this? A 44-7 run then to end the game?
Yeah.
good for them, and they are also one game away from bowl eligibility, I believe.
Yep.
So we'll see if they can pull that out against it's Purdue, right? They play against Purdue in their final game?
Bucket of nails, right?
Bucket of nails for the rivalry game, the game for the title of one true team of Indiana, right, anyway?
One true team, yeah. finishing up the Big Ten.
The headliner.
Unbelievable. Oh, Michigan State somehow goes into Ohio State and wins that game. Brutal game. But that celebration by that kicker, unbelievable.
Phenomenal!
did you hear the his interview he did with the Michigan, there was some Michigan radio show, or Michigan State radio show, he did the post-game interview, he was still amped up. He gets on there, he yells, "I fucking drilled it!" Wow.
Fantastic. Ball control.
What a kicker.
Gotta love it.
Gotta love it. And you gotta think what the Ohio State coaches were doing, or what they've been doing this entire year. And I saw an interesting comment that this is similar to what happened to Urban down in Florida after Dan Mullen left. See, after Herman let you lose a star offensive coordinator, and he struggles to put the pieces back together. The offense just hasn't looked good this entire year, and it came back to bite him. One of the ugliest performances of recent memory. 132 total yards is not good.
Jeez Louise, not great.
Not great. Kansas couldn't even muster 132 yards, or muster an effort that produced 132 yards. They've even produced more. That's not good.
Not good. I mean, Elliot, obviously, not very happy in the post game.
Yeah.
Just a very blah game in general. Tyler O'Connor, what, 89 yards? JT Barrett, 3 for 46. Huh. Ohio State, how many total yards? Like 100 some?
132.
Yeah.
132. Wow. I'm interested to see how Urban handles this situation with Ezekiel Elliott. If Ezekiel Elliott gets ridden for like 45 carries next game, we'll see if he'll get his wish. But he's made it clear he's not coming back, as well as Cardale Jones, with their improvised departure announcements after the game.
Yeah, they'll be back.
Jeez, that's we'll get to this later in the show. We'll see what is in store now for the Big Ten. Oh, Iowa, we know you're there, but
this is your official acknowledgement.
See if Dan Brady's preseason prediction could come to fruition here.
Oh,
the only thing I'm clinging on to.
I don't think I have any of mine left in play either. Any of my Final Four.
You at Ohio State.
Oh, I guess they are. You're right.
We will get to that. Turn off the lights here?
Once it loads up, yep. Turn off the lights, Pac-12 After Dark, per usual. Yes, internet issues. Roadman must be streaming Netflix.
Oh, always on
Netflix. Just freezing up for a second. Stanford, out on the farm, 35-22. Big day from Christian McCaffrey. Utah gets beat by UCLA. I was wrong there. Oregon, very impressive against USC, 48-28. Sparky and Arizona State, 52-37 over Arizona. Washington took down Oregon State. And Washington State loses Luke Falk, but defeats Kansas Buffs 27-3. Stanford looked good, but UCLA and mainly Oregon. Oregon looked pretty good.
Yes, Oregon. Emerging as a team you do not want to play here at the end of the season. Vernon Adams healthy now, and that offense is rolling. impressive victory for Oregon and only bolsters the playoff resume for Sparty.
Fatter and sassier indeed, this Oregon team.
Oh yeah, for sure.
Yes, that is a fat duck. They've got an easy victory here, or you'd assume, against Oregon State for their finale. And they can look forward to a decent ball game, I think, right?
Oh, definitely.
Yeah.
And then they'll be back to square one, right? No more Vernon Adams, and they'll be doing the same thing again next year.
What are you thinking? Holiday Bowl for these guys?
Yeah, that wouldn't be a bad place, I don't think. I think Alamo Bowl, some decent Pac-12 teams have been going to the Alamo Bowl lately as well.
Yeah.
Washington State, great defensive effort here. What is going on in Pullman, in the Palouse?
Total 180.
You, people were talking about Leach was going to get dismissed after that Portland State loss to open the season. Look at this turnaround he's got here. Would you put him as Pac-12 coach of the year?
Yeah, I would. Because of Utah faltering, I would. I would have made a case for Whittingham a couple weeks ago if we won 10 or 11 games, but no longer the case. Give it to the Leachinator.
The Leachinator.
I'll tell you, I will not give it to either Todd Graham or Rich Rod. That was the battle of disappointing teams bowl in the Territorial Cup. Holy smokes.
The Territorial Cup.
Terrible seasons for those two teams.
Terrible.
Mike Leach might have the quote of the year.
What was that? I saw that one.
Leach on why the Cougars go for it so much on fourth down. To overcome the disappointment of not making it on third down.
Fantastic quote.
Excellent, excellent. Cal, sneaky bad.
Unfortunately, I think Sonny Dykes is on his... He knows he doesn't want to come back, so he doesn't care about this team anymore.
Did you guys catch the stinker in Salt Lake? 17-9. Yeah. That sounds absolutely awful.
Yeah, I didn't see any of that game, thankfully.
Gross game. But did you guys see the line for this, the Cal Stanford game?
The point spread?
Yeah, the point spread.
12.5? 13.5?
Yeah, 12.5, and look at that final score. How do they know?
That's true. How do they know? So, Pac-12. Maybe not looking at the playoff team. Who knows? But we got a nice matchup, UCLA-USC next week for the South title. We will get to that as we shift to the Southeastern Conference, and this is a freaking mess. It was cupcake week for the Southeast for the most part. Bama rolled over Charleston Southern 56-6 after Saban's rant. Florida guys, freaking A. Overtime with Florida Atlantic. A two and eight team coming into this game.
What is going on down there with those dead fish?
Just down in Florida. 2-9? Florida Atlantic is? Holy Christ telling.
When the quarterback's number 32, you can't expect much.
This is not your father's Howard Schnellenberger team, FAU team. I'll tell you
those third and fourth downs in overtime, they almost had both, especially the fourth down. Roth and I thought he had it on fourth down. We yelled pretty good there. Just Florida, Ole Miss added to Les's misery, 38-17 over LSU. And then we might get back to that, but the Citadel, 23-22 over South Carolina.
Oh,
things
gracious.
Do not look good in South Carolina.
OBC has left the cupboard bare.
Oh, he left them high and dry here, and it's not looking good, especially with all the good positions opening. Oh, we keep coming back to this, what the coaching carousel is like this offseason, this coming offseason, what it's going to be like. With how many high-profile jobs, how does South Carolina expect to get anybody other than an up-and-coming kind of diamond-in-the-rough candidate here? Because if you're a big name guy, why would you want to go in a situation like that? The SEC.
I'll take it.
you definitely qualify for Diamond in the Rough, Dan.
Thank you.
What if they hired us as a trio head coaching staff?
We'd have to stop picking locks the week, I think.
Yeah, because we're calling this game. We'd be like Kirk. We'd have to give the keys. We wouldn't be able to.
Right.
We wouldn't be able to lock things up.
Yeah.
Since I'm calling the game, we got some keys to the game. Can't pick a winner though.
Hey, why? I'm just looking now. Your lock was it? Was Fat and Sassy.
Dude, you don't have to tell me. Well, they're down like 31-14. Then all of a sudden they're up 35-31.
Yeah.
But then they went up again by two scores. And I'm thinking, I was telling Steve, Roth, I was like, nice. Like, this is.
We need this.
Yeah, like, this is good. Arkansas is going to pull through for me here. And then a 20-8 fourth quarter by Mississippi State did me in.
Wow.
Sweet Jesus. Mullen Magic.
Barnburner. Dak Prescott.
Wow.
Arkansas loves, or at least Allen loves playing against those Mississippi teams, doesn't he?
He does. Auburn bowling, not playoffing. The narrative has changed slightly since the beginning of the season.
And who else we got here? Oh, Georgia with that overtime victory over Georgia Southern.
The pesky Golden Eagles.
They're pesky. Tough guys.
They are tough. I'm not saying that, kids, lightly, but Georgia. Whew. You think Rick is safe? Is anybody safe? Is Les safe?
As long as he wins next week, I think he's safe.
Dude, I don't
know. One of them is Zach. Oh, which one?
Unless he gets stomped on by Pitt in the Music City Bowl.
I mean, I don't know who's safe at this point. I really don't. There's gonna be 40. There's gonna be 84 coaching vacancies eventually.
a ton. Well, there's 84. I think there's 84 bowl teams, and they're only gonna get like 60 enough for like 60 or 70 with a winning record. So we're gonna be losing people in bowl games this year.
Yeah, which is ridiculous. As if it isn't already the structure.
It is ridiculous. Did you you guys see? For that Alabama game, it was number 2 Alabama against number 8 Charleston Southern. They were using those 1AA rankings.
I saw that.
was it?
I saw that. Yeah.
Yeah, I was dying.
that was cool. That was good for them to get that
top ten matchup right there. I wonder why nobody's talking about it more.
And shout out to Tennessee. You know, they're a pretty good team.
Yeah, definitely. You're still going to get Roth a orange and cream Holy Tri football shirt.
Yes. Yeah.
Rocky Top, you'll always be.
Oh, Rocky Top.
Gary Pinkel's final game at home. Good for him. We hope that he enjoys retirement. He definitely deserves it.
Yep.
So, I mean, there's pretty much the wrap-up for the week. I guess we'll do a real quick lighting here of the landscape. Because, guys, Navy, looking like Notre Dame's best win. They roll again. Boise State got upended by Air Force. Just outgaining teams, but not winning games. Navy got by Temple. UConn, nice win for Bobby D. Over Houston, Temple takes out Memphis, 31-12. Nice win there. And I guess that's kind of it for the group of five games. Scrolling through here.
BYU dominates again.
Mm-hmm. And Wyoming was off, if you recall.
Akron bowl eligible.
As far as Holy Tri games go, guys, next weekend, we'll start with the first game of the week, which was Penn State-Michigan.
This game left me feeling strange. I don't know exactly how I felt, but it was a very frustrating game because Penn State was very much in it. Late in the game, it was 21-16. They pulled within 21-16 with this team, and Penn State defense did what basically you as much as you could ask for them. Besides scoring themselves, they created turnovers. They limited Michigan's offense pretty well. There were a couple drives that were pretty backbreaking, I guess, but overall they played pretty well. Michigan went straight down the field on the first drive and scored pretty easily. But Penn State made adjustments, and they were able to get some pressure on Rudock. But the another very, very timely touchdown in which Michigan answered after Penn State retook the lead 10-3 to go into the half. They went down the field in less than a minute, I believe, and scored very quickly to answer Penn State. That one really took the wind out of Penn State's sails. They were primed to go into halftime up 10-3 and instead going in down 14-10 again. That wasn't very good. And it seems that the defense this season has been pretty solid, but they've really buckled when in times of need and very inopportune times for Penn State. The offense, they seem to know what they were doing a little bit here and there, but the big thing is not being able to capitalize on opportunities, and that's specifically, you can point to that as the main reason Penn State did not win. Whether it be poor play calling or poor execution, Penn State is a little bit of both. Penn State, once they got inside the 10, not just the red zone, they had three separate situations where they were first and goal from various yardage points. I think one was about the 5, one was about the 3, one was around the 8-ish yard line. Penn State could not capitalize on any of the above and had to settle for field goals on all three trips inside the 10. This just simply isn't going to get it done, much less against the top 15 team in Michigan, one with such a solid defense. You really need to take advantage of the opportunities that you have. And it didn't happen for Penn State in this game. What really does stick out at the end of the day is preparation and coaching. Penn State used 5 of their 6 timeouts, not for any strategic reason or trying to stop the clock, whether they're driving down at the end of the game or at the end of the halves. They used them because they were not ready and they were a complete mess. All 5 of the timeouts used were in this exact same way in which the team was not prepared. This is a team coming off a bye week. There is absolutely no excuse, especially this late in the season, for there to be that much confusion, especially for a team that's, like I said, coming off a bye week. It's just dumbfounding to me, the level of disparity that you can plainly see in the coaching. This is a staff that's been there for almost 2 full seasons now, and it's going up against a staff that's not been there for a full season. You can see that Michigan and Jim Harbaugh, which is known around the country, who is known around the country as a coach that is a very good play caller, very good developer of quarterbacks. You can plainly see with a quarterback that is 1/10 of the talent of Hackenberg, somebody that is scheming to put him in success, in an opportunity to be successful. I remember commenting to Joe, friend of the pod, Joe Silko, as we were watching the game, that every throw, the only reason why Rudock isn't completing a throw is because it's going to be a bad throw. He's making reads, and there's always somebody that's going to be open, and if he makes the right decision, he's going to complete it. It may not be for a big play, but it may be for 6-7 yards. And Michigan always seemed to have an answer. Or the staff put their team in a position where they were going to make yardage, and it was all going towards a greater purpose. There seemed to be a plan when they had the ball in their hands. And with Penn State, it's very much the opposite. You really have no feeling, no idea what they're trying to accomplish as an offense. And frankly, I don't think they have an idea either. It's very frustrating to watch. Having said that, all that being said, Penn State had an opportunity there at the end. Michigan's 3rd touchdown in the game was given up by the defense after they were pinned inside the 10 off of a muffed punt. Special teams yet again played a big role. Penn State gave up another long return after they pulled within 21-3, which set up Michigan's game-clinching touchdown to win eventually 28-16. Penn State had opportunities to win, and as bad as they looked at points, they were going against a top 15 team and had opportunities to win. You could look at it 2 different ways. This is a team that is still very young, isn't at full capacity. Will they be better next year, or will they be worse? You don't know with this coaching staff. I'm firmly on the fence as far as thinking as far as where I stand with the staff. Next year's a make or break year, and I talked about this game being a make or break game for James Franklin in his tenure here at Penn State. He had a golden opportunity coming off a bye week to get a signature victory, and he could not produce, and it was very disappointing. Very, very disappointing.
Very disappointed. Well, Ken, for what it's worth, I'll be a huge Penn State fan this weekend.
It's funny. Everybody is so happy with the Ohio State loss that they're Penn State fans are almost wanting to lose against Michigan State just to make sure that Ohio State doesn't have a chance or Michigan doesn't have a chance at the Big Ten East.
Well, not this Penn State fan here.
Not this one either.
Dan, you want to give us a recap of what you saw in the pick game?
Oh man, so let me set the stage here. I want to take a minute or two to do that. I had the key tactical error of starting to tailgate at 10 a.m. before a 3:45 kickoff, and that is why I tweeted out from the account at around 7:30 last night. Fear the 3:45 kickoff. I was fine, you know. I was making sure of pacing myself until we started playing Boom or Slap Cup, Chandelier, whatever you want to call it. And I got basically the FU cup that had whiskey and beer, and this is about 1:45. And from there, I was in trouble. I'm hanging on, get into the game. I'm not staggering or anything like that, but I'm definitely not feeling 100%. And it gets 5 minutes into the game. My dad said he couldn't make it because he didn't get off from work. My brother's nowhere to be found. And I'm like, I got to get out of here. Otherwise, I'm falling asleep in the third quarter. So I end up leaving 10 minutes into the game after Pitt had just scored a touchdown to go up 7-3. And I think part of it, too, it was very deflating to find out that Virginia Tech lost, the North Carolina one. But I got to give a shout-out to these guys. They didn't let it affect them on the field at all, even though their season was essentially over in terms of conference championship expectations. But just Nate Peterman, 35 points in the second quarter. Pitt didn't do that against Akron or Youngstown State. They did it against a Louisville Cardinals defense that was top 15 in the country, and just big plays all around. Pick sixes. George Aston, seeing him get in the mix. The fullback, couple touchdowns for the guy. And just Tyler Boyd, another big day, 150 all-purpose yards with a touchdown. And they were able to hang on and hold Louisville's rushing attack. I think I mentioned Brandon Radcliffe briefly in the preview of this game, to -1 yard, and as a team, -1 yard rushing. Very impressive performance, despite allowing 34 points to a mediocre Louisville offense. I think they caught a Hail Mary, I believe. Of course, I had to catch that on the highlights. I did not. I fell asleep as soon as I got home, so I did not see much of the game live. But, yeah, very impressive, and this is by far Pitt's best season since 2000, well, 10 right now, depending on how they finish up. But looking like since 2009, if they can take care of business next week against Miami. So good job by the coaching staff, the players, for basically keeping their focus. And I'm pretty sure it was maybe 2 minutes of real time after the game kicked off that found out that Virginia Tech had lost, and being able to keep focus and take care of business.
Good win by the Panthers.
Yep.
Shut down Reggie Bonafont.
Bonafont.
Reggie Bonafont.
The nightcap of the Holy Try games, Notre Dame got by Boston College 19-16. This game was brutal.
It looked it.
And it was the only goddamn game on in the freaking shandy gaff at State College, because one Rooster Ross Sombrero had to put it on. All four TVs.
One Steven Rosero. And you know what? I was in such a haze after I woke up from my nap on yesterday that I forgot what channel the game was on. I was watching, there was some movie on NBC that I was watching for like 5 minutes. I'm like, maybe there was a delay or something in the game. I completely forgot it was on NBC Sports.
You just kept watching the TV.
Kept watching,
you just
some
kept watching the movie.
Animated movie, on. Yeah. Like, what the heck's going on here?
Unbelievable. Could not believe it.
Yeah.
Just rough, man. Kaiser didn't play. No one played well except for Amir Carlisle. He had a good game, 7 for 97, a touchdown, and Jalen Smith. I think that's it. Chris Brown played well. He had a drop, but Fuller had a huge 45-yard touchdown drop. Dropped one over the middle. You know, I don't want to talk about this game really. Boston College had one 80-yard run by a backup quarterback. Their quarterbacks are just not good. Process out the ankle. Kawhi Russell broke his leg. Notre Dame had 3 picks, 4 fumbles, 2 lost, 3 turnovers inside the Boston College 5, and I'm over this game. On to Stanford.
On to Stanford.
On to Stanford.
Yeah, let's just get rid of this game. Guys, you guys got anybody in mind for a player that you cannot blame this week? Because I do. And I'm going to start it off with... Actually, no. Let's go over our locks, guys. What is going on? We need... We need to redefine this word.
I mean...
This is a temporary impediment to breaking ins. To break-ins. That's what we do.
We were, like I said, we were in okay shape, especially, you know, North Carolina goes up. Can's looking good. AY, you has a stranglehold on it. I was the only one that was looking I was in deep shit. and then the Sudfeld. The Sudfeld went ham. But, I'm convinced Michael has a copy of an almanac from the future or something. It's ridiculous.
We're gonna win. We're gonna go undefeated from here on out. So get ready, Patterson.
Get ready. I'm saying right. We're extending this into bowl season. We'll realign the roles. We're extending this into bowl season. Too small of a sample size.
Absolutely.
He'll be exposed at one point.
And as for guys, you cannot blame guys. This is very easy for me. I've locked into this game. Arkansas quarterback Brandon Allen.
Cannot blame him.
30 of 43 for 406 and 7 touchdowns.
You're gnarly hogs.
As Dan lashed out at us last night, can we hit a bleeding lock?
I had an Ezekiel Elliott moment there. I completely lost my composure.
I cowered back with a quivering voice through text. My team puts up 50. I expect a win.
Exactly. And I think that was what fed into it, although I can't speak for where my mind was at the majority of yesterday.
You're still in a haze.
Still in a haze, that's for sure.
You guys have anybody that you can't blame?
Brandon Ross from Maryland. 250 yards and 3 touchdowns on just 19 carries in a losing effort.
Not bad.
Can do anybody for us?
I have people that I can blame. But I don't have anybody that I cannot.
I'll throw an extra in. Tongue in cheek, of course. Perry Orth.
Perry Orth.
For 367 in the dreaded. The Citadel, what are they, Bulldogs, I think?
I think so, yeah.
Yeah. 367 through the air in a losing effort. Pharaoh had a nice game, too.
Pharaoh. Can't blame Edgar Allan Poe for Army, who had a nice 65-yard touchdown.
There you go. There we go.
So, as we close out here, you got anything else you want to go over here? Before, we're going to do some playoff talk, but we're doing the production meeting, so many different scenarios of what could happen. We're going to get some rankings in front of us Tuesday night, get a fresh hot take, and really go over some weird things that could go down in one of the final 2 weekends of the year. So we'll save that, but you guys got anything else you want to go over for tonight?
Division II playoff.
Ooh, yes.
The first set of results are in. IUP rolls over Charleston. Slippery Rock takes care of Cannes' sweetheart, Virginia Union, 40-21. Colorado State, Pueblo. See you here.
See you here.
AY's champ hangs on, 27-14, in a shootout in Valdosta, Georgia. Valdosta State takes care of Carson Newman with 2 first names. 61-59. One for the ages there.
One for the ages. Wasn't that the final score you called for the one of the semifinal games or the final game?
I think the Slippery Rock, yeah. Yeah. They're hanging 70 on Northwest Missouri State.
Hey, a shout out to Patterson, Zach Patterson. It was nice to join us on the Blast Pod. Great interview, Dan, you and him both.
Thanks, yeah.
Good job.
Fantastic.
Good, moving on. On to the next one.
On to the next one.
On to Shepherd, right?
Jack
Shepherd. Or is that in the next round?
I think it could be in the next round, yeah. I could be wrong. We just picked these brackets, too, and I can't remember.
There were so many new things to go over there. I was kind of in a blur. So, I mean, that's all I got for tonight, guys.
That's all I got.
That's all I got for tonight.
Good deal. So check us out on Tuesday, actually Wednesday, with Thanksgiving week. We'll get this out to you as soon as the playoff takes come out. We'll probably hit the record button.
Yep.
And go from there. Big weekend coming up. Holiday weekend, so enjoy the week. It's going to be a lot of fun. For me, AY here, coming to you from the beautiful state capital of the Commonwealth of Pennsylvania. And for D-Burg, to my west.
Good night, all.
And Kanzu, my northeast.
Have a fantastic night and have a great short week and enjoy that turkey, baby.
Yep, and check us out on Twitter, email, and tell your friends. Thanks for listening, guys. Have a good one.